1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, I want you to, before we get too far down the road here reading it, I want you to realize what that is saying. Jesus Christ is God's Son. So if they say Jesus came, but he's not God's Son, they do not believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Amen? That wouldn't even make sense. Jesus Christ is God. And if he is not God, you and I are in trouble. Amen? Amen. But Jesus Christ is God. He shed God's blood on Calvary. So, you know, when you come to people and they say, "Well, we believe in Jesus, but he wasn't God," they don't believe this verse. That means they're following the spirit of the devil, spirit of Antichrist. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God," capital G. "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Yeah, you notice the world gets along with those folks that don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Amen? You know who has trouble with them? God. God doesn't like that. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit, of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." I want to talk a little bit today. I promise I won't keep you long. I want to talk just a little bit today. I thought about the love of God, but I think we need to talk about the God of love. The God of love. The God of this Bible, the God in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," and the God in John 3:16 that gave his only begotten Son so you and I could have everlasting life, that's a God of love. And that capital G God is love. He is the true, very true definition of love. These other gods, there are many gods in the world, and the little g gods, and they are not love. For instance, the God of Islam is not a God of love. He's a God of hate. If you talk to folks in that religious system, they think that God's so angry at them that they have to kill themselves to please their God. But our God, a God of love, is so upset and so disappointed that we would die and go to hell, his creation, that he decided to come and die for us. See, a God of hate requires you to die physically for him. And that's a trick of the devil, which all religion is, except true religion and undefiled, as the Bible puts it. But God of Genesis 1:1 is love. And the world has a real slanted, perverted, twisted idea of love because they don't know the God of Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1. They don't know the God of John chapter 3, verse 16. They don't know the God of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. They don't know the God of John chapter number 3 that says you must be born again, and not only says it, but he gives you a way to do it. Amen. They don't know that God, so they have a real perverted view of what love is. But love, true love, is a giving love. Is a giving love. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a giving love. So if you love somebody and you're loving somebody the way God wants you to love somebody, you are looking for ways to give. Amen. The opposite of that is lust, and lust is looking for ways to take. Amen. The world gets those two things confused a lot. They don't understand love, they don't know God. But God's love, and the love that we should be understanding, is the love of God, and the God of love is a giving love. And it produces some things. It produces some things. We talk about love, we talk about charity, and we understand they're two different words. They're in there spelled differently, and God left them that way in his book, because charity is something that comes from love. And love, the biblical form of love, God's love, is a sacrificial love. Mentioned the verse coming up the steps just a minute ago, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a sacrificial love. That sacrificial love, the true biblical love that's a giving love and a sacrificial love, it gives even if somebody's not worthy, amen, because we couldn't be worthy of his love. And it sacrifices, and that sacrifice is giving up something that you need and that you want, that you love, that you adore, something that's very important to you. It's not skimming off the top and giving something extra. It's a real sacrifice. And that sacrificial love is giving to someone that doesn't even deserve it. Isn't that something? He sacrificed his son for us. What a God. The God of love. Sacrificial love. And again, we talk about the lust and the love verse each other, and we understand that true biblical love is selfless. But lust is selfish. Love is what can I do for you? And lust is what can you do for me? Or what can I get for me? Amen. Whether it's a person, a relationship, a car, a house, people lust after things, and they don't understand that that's not love at all. It's really not even an attribute of true biblical love. It's just a work of the flesh. It's a worshiping of the flesh. It's a submitting to the flesh. It has nothing to do with true biblical love. But God's love is a giving love. God's love is a sacrificial love. God's love is a caring love. Look at 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that word just the substitution, for our sins. It's a caring love. God looked down and he cared about you. You say, well, I wasn't here when Jesus died. Oh, yeah, but God took John in the book of Revelation and showed you to him before you were ever here. Amen? God looked. God's outside of time. God saw you. And God saw me. He saw us. And he decided to die for us. It was personal. On Calvary, it wasn't just about the people that were on earth at that time. It was about every man, woman, or child that would ever grow to the age of accountability and live in this world before the rapture. Amen. Think about it. I've heard it sing. There's a guy named Ken Graham. He was a preacher. He was affiliated with the Reclamation Boys Ranch, I think it was over in Oklahoma somehow. He was affiliated with those folks, but I keep talking too long. I forget what I was going to talk about with Kim Graham. But anyway, he'd sing that song about when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that's true. I mean, when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Not only that, he was able to look out at a crowd of people that had put him, although he allowed it, and it was his purpose, but they had demanded he be put on that cross. They had, not that he couldn't have stopped it, but he allowed it, and he seen these people that wanted nothing but him to be dead. And he said, Father, forgive them. You know why? Because he's a God of love. He's a God of love, that caring love. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. What did we have to offer him? Nothing. But it's a caring love. You see, he didn't have a lust for us. He had a love for us. He wanted to give us. He was willing to sacrifice for us because he cared about us. And then he tells us to love one another. Amen. So, I mean, if you're going to love one another the way God wants you to love one another, if we're going to love the way God wants to love, then wants us to love, we're going to have to understand that love is a giving love, love is a sacrificial love, and love is a caring love. Amen? The true biblical love that we're talking about today gives, it sacrifices, and it cares. True biblical love seeks out someone to care for. Amen? Inside a church family, you know what we do? We pray for each other. You know what God does? He lays burdens on our hearts. You know what we do? We have prayer meetings. We talk about this is going on, that's going on, unspoken requests. This is happening in my life. This is happening in his life. This is happening in their life. They want prayer. They need prayer. We can pray for each other. God allows us and shows us who we need to care for in a specific way. And then we can give of our time and sacrifice of our time, which is really no sacrifice. It's all reward. It's all a blessing to be able to get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sure thankful for a church family. And I've got a whole list of people that need something from you. But first, I want to tell you thank you. And then I want to tell you, hey, I'm thankful for this person. I'm thankful for that person. What a blessing they are. And I just want to be a blessing to them. How can I be a blessing to them, Lord? Here they're going through this situation, and I'm going to pray and pray and pray. And we have the opportunity to try to love the way God loves. In Matthew 22:36-38, we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. In Matthew 22:39, we're to love our neighbor. In Matthew 5:44, we're to love our enemy. You know why that's so important, Matthew 5:44? Well, first of all, probably most importantly, you were an enemy of the cross when he died for you. Amen. But secondly, if he's commanding you to love your enemy, that shows you for sure that love's a choice. Love's a choice. Falling in and out is a cop-out. Amen. Love's a choice. It's a commitment. It is. So, well, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You fell in lust. And you made a commitment to yourself. As long as I'm getting what I want, I'll be here. But love is a commitment that is an enduring, long-suffering commitment. All the wives said, amen, right? But it is. It's a choice. We make choices. I know there's an affection, which is a different thing. There's an affection that's hooked to love, and the charity's hooked to love. I understand all that, but there's an affection that God puts inside of a mother toward children. Any children, but especially her children. It's an affection that brings about protection. Amen. And he puts that inside a mother. I understand that. But honestly, have you seen those little rugrats running around? You got to choose to love them kids. The older they get, the more you got to choose it. Amen? It's a choice. It's not an accident. The reason that I don't know, I didn't do the tally on this thing, but I imagine it's probably like the last election. There's probably more divorces than there are marriages anymore, amen? Kind of like more people voting than are registered. But anyway, the whole thing is nobody takes anything seriously anymore. They don't. You know, honestly, when I got married, I didn't know what a husband was supposed to be. Anybody else in that boat? I had no idea what a husband was supposed to be. My wife had a better idea what a wife was supposed to be than I had. She probably had a better idea what a husband was supposed to be. She's just like, what in the world did I do? But I didn't know. I had no idea. God's been showing me over the years. I'm still working on it. Amen? Honestly, we're working on it. But her and I, we made a choice a long time ago. Not an accident. We made a choice to stay together and love each other. Amen. You know why I don't think they say it anymore? Because they don't even say man and woman anymore, husband and wife probably. These folks and that folks or whatever. Not even pink and blue. It's just crazy. But this thing about till death do us part, they're not going to put that stuff in anymore. You know, if they'd be honest, what they'd say is till I'm not happy, I'll leave. Amen. Because they think lust is love. They don't understand what love is because they don't know the God of love. We watch this world. We watch all the crazy stuff going on. What's happening? It's full of hate. It's full of division. It's full of anger. It's because it's being led by the little g god of this world instead of the God of love. And blood-bought, born-again people are following the wrong God a lot of times when it comes to love. Love. Amen. I mean, as far as a husband and wife goes, I'd say be very, very, very cautious and careful who you decide to love that way. Amen? Not fall into, but who you decide to. Amen? Because it's a commitment that God takes seriously, even if you don't. Amen? Amen. It's a the most intense and serious commitment you'll ever make other than salvation and deciding to walk with Jesus Christ is who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. It is, but it's a decision. So the cop-out's over. Ain't nobody falling in and out of anything. If you're in something and it's not good, you made a choice. You might have fell in it. Pray your way out of the mess into something better, amen? I'm not talking about leaving. I'm talking about God getting things right. But I'm telling you, love is a choice, and love is a commitment. And love is so connected with charity. You know, if you're married, you have to understand, you have to try to understand what charity is. You know what it means, giving without any expectation of receiving? That means you just do it to, you don't care what they do. I mean, you do on a level, but you're going to do right, and you're going to try to be a blessing to them, even if they're having a bad day. Amen? And if they're married to you, they're probably going to have some bad days. Amen? I can speak to myself, too, on that one. Like the old husband and wife, they've been married 50 years, and boy, they're both getting older, and their hearing's going, and their eyesight's going, and they're sitting across the room from each other, and he looks over, and he goes, "Honey!" She said, "Yeah." He said, 50 years, I've found you tried and true." She said, "What?" He said, 50 years, I found you tried and true." He said, "What?" 50 years, I found you tried and true. "Ah, 50 years, I'm tired of you too." Amen. But that's about the way it goes, isn't it? Probably the first time he worked up a good compliment in years, and she missed it. Hope she's listening to this tape. No, but she missed it. Tired of you two. But you can get tired of each other. I get tired of me. Amen. Are you amening because you get tired of you or because you get tired of me? But I'm just saying, we get tired of ourselves. How can you expect the other person not to get tired of you? I was in a store one day here, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and the cashier lady, you know, they always ask you, they're supposed to be friendly, so they teach them how to be friendly, amen, because people aren't friendly anymore. She might have been, I'm not taking away, but she might have been really genuinely friendly, but you know, everybody asks you, "So, how are you doing today?" And then the next person in line, "How are you doing today? How are you doing today?" It might be genuine, but I told her, I said, "Yeah, not good, I'm having a bad day." She goes, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." She's like, "Oh, now what do I do?" I said, "Buckle up." No, I didn't say anything. "Let me tell you what's going on." I said, "I just got up on the wrong side of the bed or something." You ever do that? Then I said, yeah, I just probably should stay away from my wife today so she don't have a bad day. And she goes, well, that's one way to look at it. And I said, that's the only way to look at it if you're going to stay married. I'm having a bad day. Why be? That thing's communicable. She could catch that. And she could use that on me. I've already got problems that I brought on my own. Why should I give her problems? Amen. But sometimes we do. We have to find some space. That doesn't mean we don't love each other. Sometimes if you love somebody, you got to give them some room. And then say, give them enough rope to hang themselves. No, no, you got to give them some room. And every once in a while, before it's too late, before you're too old to say it and they're too old to hear it, maybe I'll say, hey, I found you tried and true. And hope you get that same response back. I'm tired of you too. But true biblical godly love is a giving love, a sacrificial love, a caring love. We're commanded to love. To love God, to love our neighbor. You got to watch who you move in next door to. To love our enemies. Amen? To love our enemies. If we love folks with a godly love, a biblical love, we'd take hell more seriously. Let me say it again. I think we missed that. If we love people the way God wanted us to love people, we'd take hell more seriously. But since we're not going, we don't take it that seriously. I talked to a young man down at the gas station the other night and talked to him about the Lord, tried to give him a track. He wouldn't take it. He said, I'm not from here. I said, yeah. Went through salvation with him, and he said, yeah, my dad, he's very religious and all this, and he just went on and on. We had about 20-minute conversation, maybe 10, 15 minutes. It seemed like 20, I don't know, but quite a while out there by the gas pump, and he wanted to believe anything but God, anything but the Bible. And I said, well, you're a smart guy. I can tell by talking to you. You surely don't believe in evolution. He said, well, no, evolution's true. After he told me for 5 minutes how I couldn't prove God was real. And he's right, I can't, but God can. He already did. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament sheweth his handiwork, day and day others speak. I mean, we can go on and on and on about how real God is, how he's already testified of himself through the creation. But he said, no, you've never seen God. I said, well, you surely don't believe in evolution. Oh, evolution's true. I said, well, how do you know? You ever seen it? He goes, well, yeah. I said, well, I'm not talking about microevolution. I'm talking about evolution. He goes, what do you mean? I mean, like a dog turned into a monkey or something like that. Or maybe a monkey turned into a human, and maybe you could answer me this. Why are the rest of the monkeys not turning into humans, other than the fact they're probably smart enough not to? But that would be a good answer, by the way. But why? How? Tell me where you've seen it. Yep. And he said, well, all right, there are black people and white people. And I thought, oh, this isn't going to go well. And he said, but we're all equal. The black people were born one part of the world, so they're darker. And I was born in another part, so I'm light. And I said, well, just which part of the world would you have to move to turn black? Because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a change like that. Where is that? And he said, well, no, I wouldn't. And I said, well, where would you have to move for your kids to? Well, they wouldn't. It takes millions and millions of years. And I said, but you're telling me you believe something that takes millions and millions of years when you're going to maybe hit 100 at most, and you'll never see it. And I believe this, and I can look around and see the results of him. And you can't show me one example of slime turning into life and life turning into a monkey and monkey turning into a man? You can't show me one example of that? He said, well, no, but we know it's real. I said, look, I know this is real. How do you know God's real? You take him by faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and then he makes it evident. I said, he answers my prayers. He talks to me. He walks with me. He saved my soul. He gave me his word. I call on him. He calls back to me through his Bible. I know he's real because we have a relationship. He's not just a savior. He's a friend. I know he's real. And he goes, maybe it's all in your head. I said, I hope not. I hope it's in my heart. But I know God's real. Start talking about the creation. Isn't that sad? Out here on the sidewalk the other day, And the young man had more common sense than most people in the world have anymore. He's walking down the, first he's walking down the other side of the street, and then he shoots an angle straight toward me, and I thought, oh, he's going to give me the what for, because that happens occasionally. And he comes over, and he just, like he walks on by me, and I thought, that's strange. I said, hey, heaven or hell, where are you going? I don't know. You know the Bible says you can know. We have to talk about the Bible, where he's going and where he could be going. And he said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. He said he wasn't saved, but he said Jesus Christ. He goes, yeah, he goes, I believe that he helps me every day. God helps me every day. He gets me up in the morning. I thought, praise the Lord. You can go to 9 out of 10 churches and probably not get that answer. Amen? Because we don't realize the very breath that you take is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Until you start realizing you're at the long end of this thing and you're running out of those breaths and your heartbeat. I was listening to something the other day and they told your heart beats this many times. I thought, oh man, I should have been counting. Where am I at? That's the way we are, though. We want to know where we're at. You know why? Then we can goof off till the end. Amen. That's man's tendency. But the truth is, God says, you don't even have a promise of tomorrow. You better be right and ready today. And you know why he does that? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because the devil will tell you, you got forever. And God says, nope, I just checked the calendar. Tomorrow, he's going to get hit by a train. And the devil says, you got forever. You have no promise of tomorrow. Hey, if you're not saved, you better get it done today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're saved and you're out of God's will, he could call us out of here during this service. I'm telling you, if you're out of God's will, if you got some sin that just you've been off into and you can't get rid of, you need to get, right now, you need to ask God, forget the message, right now, you need to ask God to forgive you. And get it right, get it under the blood, because if he calls you out of here, you don't want to be in that mess. Amen. God is love. Why don't saved folks witness? I'm not saying y'all don't, but a lot of saved folks don't. Most folks don't. Why don't they? You know, in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16, he commands us to witness. It's a commandment. Love is a commandment. Witnessing is a commandment. Most saved folks don't witness. You know why? They don't love God. Isn't that shocking? It's possible to be saved and not love God. Or to love him but not love him right. That gets us all a little bit, doesn't it? You know, he said, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You notice he put that mind in there? We're back to the mind again. What are you loving with your mind? Because whatever you're loving with your mind, and love's a decision, by the way, is going to take control of your heart. Amen. It will. That's why he commands us to love him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That word affection is directly connected to love. We understand that. We understand that it is so engrossed in love that it's hard to separate, just like love and charity. But affection is a bent of mind which promotes a passion toward a person or object when viewed or thought upon. That's an affection. You think about them or you see them, and it provokes some kind of an action, some kind of a response, some kind of a passion toward. So what about church? When you get to church, are you passionate about it? When you get up in the morning and get to pray, are you passionate about it? When you read the Bible, are you passionate about it? I know all the time we're not going to be. Sometimes we're going to be in the mullet grubs and all that. I understand that. But if you're never passionate about the things of God, then what have you given your mind to? Say, well, the devil just got me refocused, and he can do that. But love's a choice. What do you love? Mike and I were talking a little bit ago about fish. Man, I was fishing all the way up to the pulpit after he told me about a bass he caught. I really enjoy fishing, but I'm not going to skip Sunday morning to do it. If I wasn't the pastor, amen. Or Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to skip that for anything in the world. I mean, honestly, I don't love God the way I should now. Why would I get out of church and try to make it worse? I was out there on the street the other day, and the cars were driving up and down the street, and I was looking at the faces, and I thought, one of the first ones who drove by honked and gave me the not-so-friendly salute and just kept on going down the road. And he signaled, and I thought, oh, great, he's coming back. I witnessed to him, but I'm really, if he does that other thing again, I'm not in the mood for that, really, honestly. And then a couple more people drive by, and you know what God said? I was in here right before that. I was reading about the love of God. God said, you don't love me right. Ouch. Yeah. I'm standing out there with a sign that's got everything about you on it, Lord, telling people how to get to heaven. He said, yeah, but you didn't have a broken heart over that guy. You didn't want to witness to him. Well, yeah, you're right. You got me. And they're driving by. Driving by. And even the tinted windows, you can kind of see their eyes. I started looking in the cars, and all of a sudden I started seeing people that were going to go to hell. And I was fighting back tears. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're right. I don't love you the same way I should. Because if I did, this wouldn't be an occasional thing. I'd have a broken heart all the time for people dying and going to hell. Because they're doing it all the time. I was thinking, the devil says, man, they're not. Stop and get saved or anything. And the Lord says, yeah, but you know what they're going to do? They're going to think. They're going to think of things that are eternal. I mean, they're driving down the road. They're on their phone. That's scary. Seen this girl going, she's on her phone. She didn't even know I was out there. She's, and you know how they drive out here on Barron, like it's the Autobahn. I'm thinking, I wish the Lord would get that speed limit, Lord, so people would read these signs. But she just drives on past doing this, and I'm thinking, she's probably lost and on her way to hell, and she's one text message away from the delivery. One of these days the devil's going to hit that sin button. She's going to bite the end of a semi or somebody pull out in front of her. Over. Isn't it weird how God starts making you see things more realistically? And I'm thinking, these people are driving, they're going about their business, they have no thought of God, they have no thought of church, they have no thought of a Bible, they don't think of anything except for, I've got a truck payment, I've got a house payment, I've got a car payment, dog needs to go to the vet, the gas is not working right on the dryer, this is not happening, that's not happening, they're so consumed with the things of this world, not a second for God. I wonder how many of them drive down that road, and they look at that sign, heaven or hell, for the first time in years, they think, if that's real, I might be in trouble. Amen? So the devil's saying, they're not going to get saved. And God's saying, it doesn't matter. They're going to have to think. Some of them are going to have to make a decision. Some of them are going to have to refocus for a brief second. Just like Solomon said, it's better go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because the living will take it to heart. When you go to the funeral of a loved one, you think of eternity, and you think of the reality of the fact that you're here as a vapor, like you've never thought of it before. Now, when you're looking at that casket, and you're looking at that hole in the ground, amen, you realize that life is just fleeting. It's a vapor, like the Bible says. And the lost are just running around doing their thing with no thought of anything eternal. And most saved people won't tell them about Jesus Christ. Luke 14:26 says, unless you hate father and mother, can't be my disciple. You know what he's saying? That word hate, it doesn't just mean what we think it means. It means to love so much less that no matter what, hey, look, if I lose a relationship with a biological relative, if I lose a relationship with a friend, if I lose this relationship, if this happens, that, no matter what happens, I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with truth. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about hating and despising somebody. He's talking about putting him so far up here where he belongs that everybody else is so far down here that if they want something wrong of you, they want you to come over on Sunday morning, they want you to show up at your house on Sunday evening, and they want to try to take you away from the work of God, the will of God, you're going to say, I'm not doing it. That's loving God. Loving God's not, well, we have church next week too. And look, I'm not telling you you have to be in church all the time. That's between you and the Lord. I really don't want to beat you to come to church. But if you love God, you'll do what He says to do. And He says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Amen. And it hurts sometimes. It does. I've had relatives, when we lived in Illinois, I had relatives come and they would stay all night. They'd be going home on Sunday morning. We'd get up Sunday morning, get ready to go to church, invite them to church. They would not go. So I was fine with going to church. On the way home, I felt bad because I thought they'd been sitting at our house waiting just to say goodbye and leave. But now I feel bad for them. They missed out on something. God was dealing with me. He was blessing me and helping me. Amen. I didn't always want to go to church, to be honest with you. Amen. Nothing personal, but sometimes I still don't. You let the devil ride on your back about a message for 3 days and tell me you want to go. This is one of them, amen. But man, they're going to vote you out by noon, buddy, you preach that one, amen. So I'll vote myself out if I preach that one, you know, amen. Jesus Christ doesn't deserve second place. Amen. Your prayer life doesn't deserve second place. There should nothing stop you from your prayer life. Your Bible doesn't deserve second place. Well, as soon as my programs are over, I'm going to read Jesus Wept Again. Amen. And I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to read the shortest psalm every morning so I can go on about my business. That's second place. That's second place. Well, I can't really read my Bible until I got my coffee and my Egg McMuffin. Really? What if God takes you home between getting out of bed and the Egg McMuffin? You're going to wish you read your Bible. Amen. Amen. And I know today, the way the world thinks, in this peak britches world that we live in, the sissies that the devil's raising in this world, everybody thinks, well, that's tough preaching. It's just the truth. If you love God, you'll obey God. And He commands you to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. He commands you to love one another. He commands you to love your neighbors. He commands you to love your enemies. And if you love your enemies, you'll care about where they're going when they die. Not tell them where to go when they die. Amen. That boy, first time he came to this church, he said, I want to go out in the street with you. And the first thing that happens, a guy comes by and flips him off, and he does the same thing. I said, we don't do that here. He said, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, but if he stops that car, I'll break his finger off. And I thought, well, if he stops the car, I'll let you, but don't do that. Amen? That's not exactly what God's talking about when He says, love your enemy. Amen? Good night. You know what the problem is, though? It's your mind and your heart. If you change your mind about people, God will change your heart about them, and He'll make you a witness. But most people don't care. You know why? They don't love God. Well, we love Him because He first loved us. I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. But they don't love Him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. And honestly, we're all falling short there. I say that to say this. God knows your struggles, but He also knows what you give your affections to. And what you set your mind on, your heart will eventually follow. How are you doing on loving God today? Father, we love You. And Lord, we want to love You right. Lord, You know us. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, we really don't have a 100% understanding of that. But I know one thing, we're falling short. Help us. Because, Lord, if we love You, everything else will fall in place. If we love You with all of our being, loving our neighbor, loving the brethren, loving the enemies, it'll all fall in place. Help us to love You more. Help us to love You right. Deal with our minds, deal with our hearts. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Hey, look, if God spoke with you and done business with you, why don't you do business with Him? We don't have to run out of here. We don't have to run into a prayer meeting. How about asking God to show you how to love Him more?